27. Look at verse 27. 2 Kings chapter 5, and look at verse 27. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. Amen. The Bible says, 2 Kings chapter 5, and verse 27, it says, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elijah's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. That's the NIV version. Amen. Now flip over. Hallelujah, somebody. Flip over to chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 4. And the Bible says, the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and he said, tell me about all the great things Elijah has done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elijah had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elijah had brought back to life came to beg the king for her house and land. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk about today, just for a few minutes, if y'all don't mind. I want to talk about a great comeback. A great comeback. My brothers and sisters, you and I, each and every person in this place today, have experienced some setbacks. We have experienced some disappointments. We have experienced some losses, some defeats. We have experienced some times of drought. But when you look back over your life, you see that you've overcome a lot of things also. You've had a lot of victories. Amen. You've had some good days. Amen. You've had some happy times. My brothers and sisters, this thing is all about a great comeback. Amen. Now, if we go back to 3 weeks ago, we preached a sermon that was entitled, You Get What You Get and You Don't Throw a Fit. Y'all remember? We talked about the fact that when Naaman went to Elijah to be healed, that Elijah simply told him through a servant to go and jump in the Jordan River and cleanse yourself. And we know that Naaman threw a fit and said, man, I don't want to go down to that dirty, swampy, stagnant river. I'd rather go to a better place. But the people encouraged him, man, quit tripping. Don't throw a fit. Do what the man of God told you to do. Thus, Naaman jumps in the water and is healed. Amen. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Amen. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't necessarily want to do in order for God's blessings to fall down upon our lives. Amen? I'm talking about 3 weeks ago. Amen? Then last week, what did we talk about last week? You ain't got a lie. Amen? You ain't got a lie. We talked about the fact that the servant that went out, we believe the servant that went out to tell Naaman what to do was none other than Gehazi. And we learned that Naaman had shown up with a lot of gifts, with a whole lot of bling bling, with a whole bunch of changes of clothes and some Prada bags, some Louis Vuitton bags, and the prophet said, you know what, I don't want this. You don't have to pay me for a blessing from God. Amen. And some of us need to learn this morning that you don't have to pay, you don't have to send money to get a prayer package. You don't have to get a cloth, you don't have to get some water. Amen. Amen, because God's blessings are free. Amen? Come on, somebody. But we know that Gehazi chased after Naaman, the man that had the gifts that the prophet wouldn't take. Amen? And when Gehazi saw this, he was like, man, Elijah is tripping. Man, don't you know that I could, that we could live well? We could be wealthy if he would just take this silver and this gold and those clothes. Man, there was some bad clothes in there. That was cool. I could be coochie down. Amen? But Gehazi went to chase down Naaman. Chased him down and said, hold up, man. Elijah told me to come over here because we got two two brothers that's in college that are doing really well. They're in seminary, and they're about to come home, and we want to bless them with some gifts. So can you give me a little bit of that gold? Can you give me a little bit of that silver? Can you give me a couple of changes of clothes? Because we want to suit them down when they get home to show them how much we appreciate them. Amen. We're tired of giving $2 or $3 to the crackheads in the neighborhood. We want to bless these young brothers. Amen. So he goes and he tells a lie. He said, look, you know, and then, you know, Naaman was changed by his experience with Elijah. He was changed, and he said, you know what, I will believe in your God. Your God is the God. The God of Israel is the true God. So this was a new convert, and Gehazi, through his lying, goes and takes advantage of a new convert. Amen? Is that bad? That's bad news, isn't it? So then Naaman thought so much of what had taken place, he was glad to give the money. He was glad to give the gifts. And he sent two of his servants along with him to carry him. You ain't got to lie. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about last week's sermon. So when they go down, when they get to the entrance of the city, which was near Elijah's house, they get to the entrance of the city, and then Gehazi tells them, hold on, fellas, y'all, that's far enough. Y'all just drop the bags right there. Y'all going back and catch the train. You going back and get with Naaman, and y'all going back home. Amen? I'm just putting it together so we understand it. Are y'all rolling with me? So Naaman, not Naaman, but Gehazi comes back before the prophet, before Elijah. Elijah said, Gehazi, where you been? Gehazi said, man, what you talking about, man? I've been chilling, man, you know. I've been here, you know. I've been dusting the pews, vacuuming the floor. And man, got the water ready for the next baptism. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to. He said, no, you're lying. Gehazi, you ain't got to lie. I saw when you stopped the chariot. I saw when you took those bags, when you took that money. I saw you the whole time, Gehazi. You ain't got to lie. And since you persist on lying, check this out. You remember that leprosy that I took off for Naaman? That leprosy that I took off Naaman, guess what? That leprosy is yours now. Congratulations. You ain't got to lie, church. Lying will get you messed up. Bible says that all lies should have their part in a lake of burning brimstone. And to me, that's just like a special room. It's a special room in hell for liars. That's Shannonology. The Bible don't say that. But when it specifically brings out liars, it don't say all adulterers or all thieves. It said all liars. But you know what? If you're a liar, that make you everything else. A liar make you everything else. I'm a probation officer. And you know what I tell people that come in my office? You know what? I can deal with a drug addict. I can deal with a child molester. I can deal with a thief. Because you know what? I know how to deal with you. When you come in my office, if you steal, my wallet will not be on my desk. I'll put it in my desk and lock the drawer. If you steal. If you are a child molester, I'm not gonna trust my 4-year-old daughter with you. She can't hang around you because you like little kids. Amen? Does that make sense? If you are an assault risk, if you beat up your mama, guess what? I'm not going to push them buttons that's going to make you go off. We're not going to be fighting in my office. So I'm a little careful of how I handle you because you like to throw them things. Amen? So I watch how I handle you. I know what to look for. You know, I don't leave sharp objects on my desk if they're on probation for assault. My scissors are in my desk, locked with my wallet. Amen? You got to, but because I know what I'm dealing with. But if you're a liar, I don't know how to protect myself. That's why that person that you're hanging around with, they lie all the time. You better get away from them because there's no protection from a liar. Hallelujah, somebody. But Gehazi got him a good dose. A leprosy because he was lying. Good God Almighty. And the Bible says that he was white as snow. And if you know anything about leprosy, when they turn all the way white, that's the final stages. Ooh, that means you got it bad. He had it real bad. Now, I've been working on this sermon for about a year now. And somebody discouraged me from preaching this sermon. Because he said, you know what, that you're trying to prove there, there's really no nothing to back it up. So I really had to pray on this, and I left it alone for a long time because truly this is supposed to be one sermon. And the sermon was supposed to be a great comeback. But the Lord broke it down into three sections, and I'm glad he did. Amen? All right, y'all ready to roll with the end of it? A great comeback. My brothers and sisters, we see here, if we continue on in chapter 6, if we look at chapter 6 around verse 24, we will see that verse 24 says, sometime later, and I'm reading from the NIV version, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. Does your Bible say that? There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a calf seed pods for 5 shekels. Y'all know what that seed pod was? That was Dove Boo Boo. Times got so hard in the land where Elijah was prophet, where Naaman had gone to be healed, where Gehazi had told a lie. Tony, times got so bad in this particular place that they were selling donkey head soup. And bird boo-boo for a whole lot of money. There was a great famine. It's right here in your book. Now, this is the Pastor McGuire version. I kind of, spice it up a little so we understand. Times got so rough. Oh, look at here. Y'all want to see how hard times really got in this particular land? Let's jump down. I tell you what, let's just keep reading. Verse 26 says, and the king of Israel was passed by on the wall. A woman cried to him, help me, my lord, the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I help you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press? Then he asked her, what's the matter? He said, okay, lady, what's wrong? I realize it. You're bothering the king. I can't. Well, what do you want me to do? I'm struggling too. Watch, look how bad times were. She answered, she said, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today. And tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, give up your son so we may eat him. But she had hidden him. Y'all see how hard times it got? The lady cooked her son. That's what the word said. I didn't make it up. Did your Bible say that? Okay, I don't want y'all to think I'm making this stuff up. I can tell some good stories, but I'm not going to make up none out of this Bible. Amen? Oh, and then, check this out. Then the king gets really upset, and guess who he blames? And I'm not going to read it word for word, but what the king did, he said, you know what? It's that prophet's fault. It's Elijah's fault. It's Elijah's fault that we're going through this. Somebody bring me his head. Off with his head. Y'all reading, look at some of y'all reading right now. Say, Pastor, is he serious? Is this really what happened? Yeah, it's in your book. Say, I want his head. But guess what? God will always tip off, amen, his beloved, amen? Look at Elijah. Elijah's still doing his thing. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1. Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord, that it was the Lord says about this time tomorrow, and say, a flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 says a barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer whose arm the king was leaning, said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open up the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? Even if the Lord should open up the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elijah, but you will not eat any of it. So this brother said, you know what? Even if God opened up the floodgates of heaven, that's not going to happen. Flour's not going to be that cheap. Supplies are not going to be that cheap. There's no way, but the man of God saw it because God was speaking to him. Amen? Now watch this. Woo! My brothers and sisters, oh, look at chapter 7 and verse 3. something's about to happen. Things about to change. Things about to change right here. I'm excited. I hope y'all excited as I am. Talking about a great comeback. Look at this. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? Why? Look at this. Look at this. Okay, lepers used to hang out at what we call the dump ground or the landfill. Because people, whatever they threw away, that's usually what the lepers would get. Because the family of lepers could leave things at the end of the city so they could come and pick it up. But things had got so bad, Brother Durrell, that people wasn't even throwing trash away. They wasn't throwing anything away. So these brothers said, look, man, we've been hanging out here. We're at the gate. Nobody's coming through. Nobody's showing us love. Nobody giving us little change, nothing. We're going to die. We're going to die. So watch this, Tony. Watch this. At dusk, verse 5 said, at dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans, when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and horses, a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. Look here, y'all. There were four lepers. I need somebody to help me. Come on. Somebody that has... They're still away. Come on, Brother Darrell. Come up here. Come on, Deacon Ron. Come on, Johnny. I need you. Tony, you're on the front row. Come on. So, look what God did. The Aramean army, they're all camped out. They got all of their big guns, big knives, bombs, hand grenades, everything. They have all this, all their gold, silver, clothes, food. And they're all, guess what? Let's just say they're the army. Y'all the army. Y'all might be in the army because I want to use everybody. Y'all get to play a part in this movie. Y'all go back to the door. Go back to the door and then I want y'all to come this way. I'll be done in a minute, I promise. So the army is here hanging out doing what they do. Now, come on, fellas. Y'all, come on. Y'all went too far. Come on. Come on this way. Johnny. No child left behind. Come on, Johnny. So they begin to walk, and the army hears chariots. They hear a great army approaching. And they left. Just like if y'all got up and left all your rings, your watches, all them crackers in your purse, left your pistol, if anybody has one this morning. There were only four lepers. And as they came toward, they said, you know what, we're going to die anyway. We might as well go down here with this army and see if they'll show us some love. We're going to die anyway. So either they're going to kill us or they're going to give us something. I mean, either way, we can't lose. Hallelujah, somebody. Go sit down, fellas. Thank you. Now, I did a little research on Gehazi, and I found out Gehazi had three sons. Hallelujah, somebody. I found out he had three sons. And it never said it in the book, but it's just something inside of me that wouldn't let me leave this sermon alone. I believe that it was Gehazi and his boys. He said, we're going to die anyway, but we're going to go down here and see if we can get something going. And as they approached, God got in that thing. The Lord got all up in it, my brothers and sisters. And the army, retreated. They ran off and left all that stuff. Oh, y'all better roll with me. This is some good stuff right here. Watch this. Verse 8 says, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and laid them and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Verse 9. Look at verse 9 in chapter 7. Says, then they said to each other, this is what the NIV said, we're not doing the right thing. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will take over us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace. Y'all know what happened? Gehazi, when he got down there, this is Pastor McGuire. This is McGuire-ology. I believe that when Gehazi started to eat, started to drink, And he looked at that little outfit. He said, wait a minute. That looks familiar. Wait a minute. That look like. Oh, boy, put that gold down. Put that silver down. Put that gun down. I've been here before. And I made the bad choice the last time. I made the wrong choice last time. I'm talking about a great comeback this morning. And then Gehazi said, you know what, fella? Sure, I'll tell you, I've been punished before for not doing what I was supposed to do. I've been in trouble before because I took them suits. I took that silver. Hallelujah, somebody. It's not just for us to enjoy. We got to go tell somebody. We got to go tell somebody. Look at this, look at this, look at this. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, see, they knew they were unclean. They knew they were unclean, so what they did was they called out. He's making the right choice. He didn't just barge in with bling bling. I got the gold, I got the silver. Some of us would have bust right up in there unclean. But no. They're still making the right choice. They called out to the gatekeeper and said, hey, fellas, check this out. Go back. Let's look. I don't want y'all to think I'm making this up. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone. Only tents, horses, donkeys, and tents left. Just as they were, the gatekeepers shouted the news and it reported within the palace. So guess what? Now the king knows. Now, the other thing that you have to know is, right before Elijah the prophet said that, you know what? Everything's about to get cheaper. We remember that the king had sent a man to kill him, right? And what Elijah did was say, hey, lock the door. Lock the door because God's about to speak to me. And the man that was there to kill the prophet was right outside the door when God began to speak to him. Sometime, my brothers and sisters, it'll seem like all hope is lost. Amen. But sometimes you just got to shut some things down. Hallelujah, somebody. And allow God to speak in your life. Amen. Close the door. Lock the door. Say, oh, I know the Lord. So the Lord spoke and told him what was going to happen. Amen. I just had to go back and get that. So for somebody. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Then somebody said, surely not. There's no way that this happened. So they sent out some spies to go out and look and see what had happened. And sure enough, they came back and said, these fellas are so right. And not only is the camp left, but we found a trail of clothes and money because as they fled, they just took stuff off and kept on running. Amen. My brothers and sisters, see, sometimes, you know, the enemy, but when the Lord begins to work, those haters are just run off and just throw off everything. Amen. You know what the Bible says that our enemies will bless, right? Bless those that despitefully misuse us because there's a blessing in that. Did you not know that you can be blessed through your enemy? Hallelujah, somebody. He said that he'll make your enemy your footstool. He said that he'll prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Enemies are important. If you don't have any, you may be on the wrong team. Let me fix myself so I can close this thing out. I'm talking about a great comeback. Y'all with me this morning? Watch this. Look at verse 16 in chapter 7. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. And look. So a say a flower sold for a shekel. Uh-oh. Did the man of God say that? And two says of barley sold for what? A shekel. As the Lord has said. Uh-oh. Now, what happened to the hater? What happened to the soldier that was talking all that noise? What did the prophet tell him? He said, look. It's going to happen. We're going to be victorious. But guess what? You are not going to get to eat. That's what. Did he tell him that? Remember when we started this, right? I bet you better not look at verse 19 in chapter 7. I bet. I bet you, you better not look at it. The officer, had said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open up the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? The man of God replied, you will see it with your own eyes. You should not eat any of it. What does verse 20 say? And that is exactly what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. He saw it, but he didn't get to enjoy it. You better be careful what you say about the power of God and what the Lord can do, because you will miss out on a blessing doubting God. And that's exactly what this soldier did. He said, whatever. Y'all know people like that? Why you keep praying? Why you keep going down to church? Whatever. Nothing's going to happen. Whew. He ain't going to open up the windows and pull you out a blessing. That's just what them preachers tell you to keep you coming. I'm talking about a great comeback. Gehazi looked at his boys and said, boys, I've been down this road before. And it's my fault that we look like this. It's my fault that we've had to eat out of the trash heap because of decisions that I made. A choice that I made affected my whole family. My brothers and sisters, the choices that you make will affect your whole family. But you know what? I'm so glad that we have a man named Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. And you can even look back into the Old Testament and see that God's glory, God's grace is still working. Amen. And the Bible says, let's move on, my brothers and sisters, because I want to close this thing out. Oh, if you look at chapter 8. And I did some reading on this, and one theologian said that apparently this happened before. What I'm about to read you, this happened before the Great Depression or the great time of drought, the great time of sorrow where things were so expensive, where they went through this difficult time. But I see here in verse 4, who do y'all see there? Watch this. Look at verse. Let's jump back up to verse 3. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to, you know what? No. Let's start at verse 1. Now Elijah, this is chapter 8, verse 1, and then I'm done. Now Elijah had said to the woman whose son had been restored to life, right? Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. Did y'all see that? The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. Did y'all see that? She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to the king to beg for her house and land. Okay, to me that proves that she was gone. Well, all of this was happening because Elijah already saw it coming. And she did exactly what the man of God said do. She went, took her family, stayed gone for 7 years, and then she comes back. So that means the famine is over. Is that how you understand that? And look at this, my brothers and sisters. The king was talking to who? Who? Gehazi is back on the scene, Deacon Smith. Did y'all see that? A great comeback. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. And he said, tell me about all the great things Elijah has done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elijah had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elijah had brought back to life came to beg the king for a house and land. Gehazi said, this is the woman, my lord king, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. The same king that was going to kill Elijah. The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income, hallelujah, from her land and from the day she left the country until now. Somebody ought to give a hand clap right there. Did y'all see that great comeback? Where my four lepers at? Come on, lepers. I need my four lepers. Come on, lepers. Come on, lepers. Y'all go to the back door this time. Y'all go to the back door. I want to show y'all something. And we done. Amen? This help anybody this morning? I'm talking about a great comeback. The Lord showed me something. He said, as Gehazi and his three boys, once they made the decision to do the right thing, whew, y'all walk this way. As they walked, one of them looked down at his hands and said, wait a minute. My hands look different. Another one said, wait a minute. My hands do too. And Gehazi said, wait. Anybody got a mirror? My face is not white anymore. Because the closer they got back to doing the right thing, the better things looked. Amen? I'm talking about a great comeback this morning. My brothers and sisters, if you have strayed away from God, all you got to do is listen to what the Lord is telling you. Begin to move toward him. Oh, and he'll change you. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a great comeback. And in coming back, you got to come back right. You got to come back making the right decision. And your right decision, guess what, will bless your whole family. Men, start making the right decision in your house and watch what happens to everybody else in it. The closer I get, the closer I get to you. Let's get the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. The closer we get to the Lord, the better things will be. I'm talking about a great comeback. It looked like Gehazi was gone. It looked like his life was over. Found himself out in a trash heap. Found himself in a time where people wasn't even throwing things away. Oh, but when the Lord gets into it, when God begins to speak, no matter what people say, they can call you. Y'all remember what Miss Seeley said? I may be black. I may be ugly. But I'm here. So no matter what the world tells you, they told Gehazi he was a leper. Get out of the city. Oh, but the closer he got back, the better he began to look. And the Bible says that he was talking to the king. And if you had leprosy, you couldn't be in the presence of the king. Woo! Ain't God good? Amen. If there's anybody